Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
He's a former pro, an SEC analyst, and a damn good dog. Matt Stinchcomb is only on the College Football Voice of the South, presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union and ASW Distillery.
He joins us every Wednesday on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. He is the Hall of Famer, Matt Stinchcomb, on The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM. Matt, good afternoon, sir.
Man, good afternoon, fellas. And the Hall & Oates intro music, just phenomenal. They're all-timers, I think, really, from soft rock perspective.
They hold up very, very well, no question about it. Stetson Bennett holding up very, very well. If the back holds up, maybe he starts again this week. We'll get to that in just a second. What was your initial thought when you found out he was going to start last week?
I was surprised. And then having seen the result and the explanation, which is kind of a seemingly obvious one that didn't occur to my tiny little brain, it made all the sense in the world, given where they are, given the new faces in the passing battery at receiver. Does it make more sense to have a guy go out there and make his first start, or would it make sense to have a veteran guy go out there that you know can execute the offense and doesn't have as much, you know, runway in front of him as far as career left is concerned? You know, Stetson Bennett made more sense, and boy, was that decision validated. But I was surprised. I was, just based on the way we understood the pecking order to be at quarterback. But you heard Kirby say it repeatedly, and turns out it wasn't coach speak. He had a bunch of banked reps, and not just banked reps in practice working with the ones from a season ago, but banked game reps. And that's the big difference, and I think it more than showed on the football field in Sanford Stadium the other day. Stetson Bennett looked good. He looked good versus UAB. They might need him to look good again this week.
Yeah, it's a good question. This week, what's going to happen, as Kirby says yesterday, he's dealing with Stetson Bennett, a bit of a lower back issue, but do you save JT Daniels until he's 100%, even next week when you talk about Vanderbilt?
I think you do. I think if you can. I mean, yeah, they already talked about that oblique being one that you don't want to go out before you're absolutely ready. And it's weird. I don't know if they need to check the ergonomics of their chairs over there at the Buttsmere building or what, because it's low back, it's an oblique. These are just it's interesting that these injuries are popping up. A couple, you know, games ago, it was the feet. Everybody's feet were exploding left and right. It's just been a weird year at Georgia from an injury perspective. And you don't want to push it. But, it, you know, if you had to push between the two, you know, unless that low back is, you know, something structural, if it's like a spasm or something like that, there's ways to knock those out to make it to where you can make it through a couple of quarters. I've played with bad low back issues at the offensive line position. It's obviously different mechanics at quarterback, but I think that they could survive it. You don't really want to rush either one of those guys, but if you had to pick and choose, just on the outside looking in, you'd think that maybe there's a way that Stetson could push through and not have to risk re-aggravating that oblique injury to JT Daniels.
Matt, perfect opponent in game two, and how good was it to see that if there was a little bit of a hangover, dig me, it seemed to go away pretty quickly. I'm imagining that was drilled into their brains by everybody.
Yeah, I think it was an ideal week, too. You nailed it. Now, the problem is, of course, is that, and we can say that now because of the way the game turned out. If it goes the other direction, you're going, gah. I mean, you go on the road in a neutral site, albeit bowl environment, versus a ranked team in week one. Then you turn around and you play a team that won their conference championship a season ago and is really well coached. I'm surprised Bill Clark is – hasn't gotten more suitors, and maybe he has, and he's just chosen to stay at UAB regardless. It worked out perfectly in that regard. Now, you'd like to have your starting quarterback in the lineup because of the work that needed to be done in the passing game. Running game didn't look great. You know, there's still some concern I have anyway around that, regardless of scheme. But from an offensive standpoint, highly productive, incredibly efficient, and you did it in the passing game, which was something that coming into the season, I think everyone had the largest number of question marks around.
Matt, I know that when you're off the field, I don't know how much you really get to watch a defense because I'm assuming coaches are coming over at every level. Maybe there's a little bit of free time. When is there a buzz on the sideline about the possibility of a shutout. Like, is that real? Is that palpable on the sideline when all of a sudden you see it's a little bit of a fire up?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the thing is, too, the offense plays a role in that, right? You know, we start going out there and we're slopping around. You're up by a bunch of scores and you think, you know what? Three and outs, what's the big deal? Punt the ball away, we come back over here, drink some Gatorade, let the defense go back to work. They're having a good day. No, you want to maintain the football. You want to finish the game on the field. That's the wording that you would always hear. Now, in the third quarter, you're not thinking that. That's a heck of a long drive. Run out of field eventually. But you don't want to hang your defense out to dry. There's a chance. There's a real chance that these guys can get it done. We can play a role in that. That permeates the sideline, there's no doubt. Those guys have an awareness. And once you start making substitutions when a team has been shut out or is, you know, holding a shutout late into the second half, those guys that go in there, they understand the expectation. And, you know, we've seen it how many times where there's a shutout, put some backups in there, they slop around, the offense of the opposing team starts moving the ball. What happens? They put the starters back in. That's how important it is. So, yeah, it's something that you're aware of, something that you're conscious of, and it's a team achievement. Obviously, it's mostly a defensive achievement, but there's no doubt that the rest of the team, special teams included from a field position standpoint, contribute to those types of performances. And when you give it up on offense, you know, that's the most challenging one, because in the box score, people see that, and they don't necessarily dig deep enough. It doesn't take much, but they don't, to know that, you know, defense didn't even give up that score. The offense, you know, burped it up.
Texas, their defense was non-existent when it came to defending the run, especially against Arkansas, as they pound Texas 40-21. Is there a better guy in coaching than Sam Pittman right now?
No, there really isn't. But that was true before he was a head coach. He is a guy, you know, I've not been around him a ton. And I just kind of observed from afar. You don't want to be nosing around, especially at your position group. But he was so well-respected. And I first came to be aware of him anyway as an offensive line coach at Arkansas. And when you knew the guy was different was when we would do these production meetings with Arkansas, and Brett Bielema was still there, and Sam Pittman had come over in 2016 to be on Kirby's staff. And that was like a fatal blow to that program. And Brett Bielema brought it up, you know, unprompted. It wasn't like, hey, you know, what'd you think about Sam leaving or the transition or making it offensive line? No. He, you know, went out of his way to bring up that, you know, it not only hurt him as a head coach, but hurt the program when Sam Pittman left. You think that's just, you don't hear that a lot, a position coach leaving and an impact in a program. Now, that's a program that put an offensive line on the cover of its media guide. So obviously it was part of their brand, but I think it was way bigger than that. And I think what we're seeing now is a guy that is a personality fit. He's a cultural fit, and it's the value of having a coach that genuinely wants to be there. That was the job he wanted. It means more to him than what it is that he's pulling down in salary. I mean, it's famously, when he met with Hunter Yurecek, the athletic director, he agreed to the job, and they hadn't even talked dollars and cents at that point. He just wanted to be the head coach at Arkansas, and he's doing a great job.
I want to ask about USC, but not really USC in particular. What has to happen for the student-athletes themselves? I know there's an interim coach, and there's some familiarity with other guys on the staff. When a head guy goes 2 weeks into the season, in a lot of ways, you're telling those guys, hey, guess what? Season's done. It's kind of unfair. Now, maybe there are reasons why it had to be done, and it's not just the scoreboard, I'd imagine, at that point. But it really does stink for guys who are trying to finish up a football career, knowing that if they're not rudderless, it's certainly not what they signed up for at this point.
It's ridiculous. It really is. It's ridiculous, bordering on unconscionable what they did. Because if you're one bad loss away from getting rid of your head coach, then you need to get rid of your head coach.
Right.
They got lost to Stanford. Stanford didn't look good, hasn't looked good until that game. Didn't look good in week one, of course. And so now, because of that loss, you cut loose of the guy. And then the rhetoric, and it's AD speak, and it's championship level. So the guy to lead your program to a championship level, at least – in season, AD Bond even referenced that we got a lot of games to play. So it turns out that the guy that could lead your program to your championship level, turns out he was already in your building. That's what you're trying to tell us. And if that was the case, then why weren't you able to discern that during the off season or during the time of last year when the Pac-12 was trying to decide if they even wanted to play college football at all? So it just, you hung your student athletes out to dry. big time. I cannot wait to hear, and I don't expect we're going to find out how much money USC saved by firing Clay Helton when they did. I don't think they saved any. This is an abortion of leadership. I mean, the idea that you have basically said to these kids, sorry, guys, tough luck. We almost didn't play last year. We barely did. And now this year we're going to punt. You got to believe that that staff at USC, given how USC handled their last interim coach, who I think won 7 games, and Ed Ogeron when he was named interim, if you were ever going to have a guy that actually could lead your program that was already in the building, it might have been him. They didn't keep him, and they're not going to keep the coach now. So everyone's got their eye out on the door.
That's the other problem. That's the problem. And you're gonna stand in front of kids when I know for a fact. And by the way, if I'm an adult about it at 20, I understand you gotta sort of look out for you and your family. But you're gonna have them stand in front of student athletes, asking for them to give them everything, when in all likelihood, what's standing in front of you can't do that right now.
That's right. That's exactly right. And then the whole thing comes back to, hey, the adults, all the adults in the room, do your job. You didn't do your job. So if Clay Helton isn't the guy, you should have known that before game two of the 2021 season. Do your job. If he wasn't the guy, then cut him loose. All the candidates that they're looking at now for this Southern Cal job, they're still the same ones that were out there last year except for Urban Meyer. What's the difference? If anything, Mario Cristobal, if the season continues the way it is, his price just went up. You think you're going to get Matt Campbell out of there? Does he make sense at Southern Cal? I mean, maybe, I guess.
Well, let me ask you this.
He was available last year.
If I'm a candidate short of the money, why do I want to work for people who just did what they did?
You wouldn't. You wouldn't. And would you want to play in a conference that tried to pull what they did a year ago? Seriously? And everybody wants to talk about Southern Cal as a brand. How far back do you want to go for that to be true? It's just, to me, the whole thing is I wish I could say it's laughable. But I feel so badly for those kids in that program, genuinely. They're amateurs. These are student athletes. And yet the decisions that you make seem to have no consideration of either of those purported elements. I can't believe what happened.
Yeah, Matt Stichcomb is with us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. Going back to the SEC and football, what does Florida have to do to pull off the upset against Alabama?
Are you throwing a little water on the fire? Thanks, man. Back me off from the edge.
I am the master of the transition, Matt Stinchcomb.
And it was just so smooth and seamless.
Don't try this at home.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what's too bad is, with Anthony Richardson tweaking that hamstring, I really would have been interested, and still am, to see what they're going to do at quarterback, knowing that this isn't a game that they're expected to win. I think the line was at, 16 points, something like that. And I'm not sure that Florida won't have to score late to get to kind of approach that spread. So I would have liked to have seen a healthy Anthony Richardson just to know how Dan Mullen would have handled it. We've seen this before. I mean, these guys, with Keaton Thompson and Nick Fitzgerald, however many years ago at Mississippi State, where Dan Mullen had Keaton Thompson out there first, he wasn't the guy. They almost lost to, I think, South Alabama in the opener. And then he realizes, all right, I need to go with Nick Fitzgerald. I don't know if that's what's going to happen here. I don't know if necessarily that's the same dynamic. But a two-quarterback system, that's not really what we're seeing. What we're seeing is the same system. One guy has a more abbreviated playbook because he's just not been in the system as long as Anthony Richardson. But there's really little argument, I think, from what I've seen so far that says that if Anthony Richardson had a better grasp for that playbook, he would have been the guy. A healthy hamstring.
That 80-yard touchdown run, ironically, he tweaks the hamstring, was absurd.
Yeah, and he's done this. He's had a couple of great runs this year where it's really on him. I mean, Mullen talked about in his press conference, the guy, he blew the protection audible that he should have made at the line of scrimmage. Then he missed the outlet pass that should have been his hot read. So then he just took off running and made it all right. The issue is you can pull that off versus some of the guys they've faced so far. That's not going to work on Saturday. You're not going to just be like, I'm just going to kind of jock my way out of this, not versus Alabama's defense. And that's what Dan Mullen knows, I think, more than anything else. How he handles it Saturday will be interesting, but I do think it changes because Richardson's, a little bit nicked. The run game's been good. The run game's been good, though, because of the quarterback spot. Emory Jones and Richardson, both are their top two rushers from a production standpoint so far. Maybe you only have one of those guys in this game, and are you going to be as aggressive knowing that you don't have to beat Alabama to contend in the East Division? So I don't know how they're going to play it. I don't expect them to win, and I don't expect it to be close.
Hey, Matt, two more quick things. Does Jimbo Fisher, if his quarterback's got a break, a fracture, a crack, I don't know what other words we were using this morning. Does he get a redo? Does he get an adult duo around that Alabama comment because he might not have his quarterback?
No. Okay. I'm pretty sure that the internet does not allow you to say, yeah, that never happened. No, that lives forever on some, like, piece of memory or RAM somewhere on a CPU.
All right, and about Alabama, did you know Nick Saban was a D's nuts type guy?
I'm not sure I'm buying that one. I could not believe, number one, that was the soundbite. I can only imagine that shortly after that press conference, there was a small meeting held just outside the room where it was conveyed that maybe we don't say that kind of stuff. Let's be real. I think that might be the tamest possible version of what is said on a practice field. But no, I did not anticipate that being his go-to catchphrase. Of all the ones that we hear him say, that would not have been the one that I would have thought bubbled up. But it was great. I mean, it made for a great soundbite.
The next time he faces the media, does he joke about it, or is he going off on a tirade about it? What do you think?
Is that as the confetti is falling after the national championship when he's asked about it? Because if so, maybe. And if not, then I think if that question gets asked, then that reporter will part ways with their eyebrows.
I think he might go to, I have no idea what you're talking about. I think he might deny. Yeah.
Which wouldn't be the first time.
With these nuts. No, yeah.
Just pull the Jim Harbaugh, just yes. A vacant stare, and act like yes. You don't understand the question when you
exactly.
Don't want to answer it.
Yeah. What do you got this week?
We got the Fighting Jimbo Fishers versus the New Mexico Lobos, led by Terry Wilson. Touchdown Terry from Kentucky. Last time he was in College Station, he almost pulled off the upset.
I like it. Great connection.
I can say this, by the way. You I don't think you can, or maybe you don't want to. I bet that A&M game, so when I watched the quarterback go down, I watched the Italian kid come in, and I didn't know what the hell was going on there for a little while. They end up winning the game. I guess you get to keep your ranking. But lane 17, when you watch a quarterback lying on the ground realizing, oh, this isn't good for me. But I was curious enough to watch the entire football game. By the way, that team isn't beating Alabama.
No, it's not. They're going to have to do a pretty hard – they got to pull a 180 on offense. It was bad. They looked inept offensively in that game. It wasn't just because of the Italian kid at quarterback.
Stinch, we appreciated the passion today. Thank you as always.
Oh, man, my pleasure. Hot button. You didn't even know it. You had no idea I cared about Southern Cal that much.
By the way, it's Calzada. I think it's a little insulting that if I call him the Italian kid and it just sort of hovers as if we didn't know.
It's Calzada, not to be confused with Calzone.
Who went to Buford High School? Yeah, right down the road, a heck of a kid. And
there you go.
He'll prove to be a really good
kid. I hope so. He got an opportunity to be on the field.
And you'll see him this week. Thanks, Matt.
See you guys.
Matt Stinchcomb with us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. Don't forget.
Spitting fire.
Yeah, you lit his fuse.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business. And it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.